بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلما بلغ معه السعي قال يا بني إني أرى في المنام أني أذبحك فانظر ماذا ترى قال يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين وقال تعالى والذين استجابوا لربهم وأقاموا الصلاة وأمرهم شورى بينهم ومما رزقناهم ينفقون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما خاب من استخار ولا ندب من استشار أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله Most respected honorable brothers and elders in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The season that we are going through, the season of Hajj, we are already in the months of Hajj. Dhul-Qa'da, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram and Rajab. These are the sacred months which are known as Ashhur-i-Hurum. Sacred to the level, to that extent and degree, that even the people that were soaked in ignorance, in deviation, those that we will call them the Jahil of the time, the moment it was the month of Ashhur-i-Hurum, immediately there was no fighting at all with even the most hostile enemy. And they would stop disobeying Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to the best of their ability. So we as the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and that ability that we honor the sacredness of these months of the Ashhur-i-Hurum. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to advance in piety and in proximity to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Generally the months of Hajj, the incident of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is brought to light. The general or the broader incident we all are of a, we know. But just one aspect we intend discussing today. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, very ripe old aged, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with a son, Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with the son, then the test came that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, leave your son and go out in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Anyway, he goes out in the path of Allah, just snippets of the incident. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam used to visit his son Ismail alayhi salam. Frequently he would come. But on one of his visits, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights this meeting in the Quran. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيْ When Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam comes back to Makkah Mukarramah on one of his trips, he sees that his son Ismail alayhi salam is of that age that now he can be an asset to me. Like how a person who is working very hard, he entertains guests, family come, friends come, and he does everything himself. Now the moment that son is about 7-8 years old, and he can carry that tray with tea, and he can serve the food, and he can go to the kitchen and bring and serve the dishes. Now the father also is happy, he says, shukr, now I can relax, I got a runner for myself. So Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, when Ismail alayhi salam came of that age, that now he was of an asset to him. Now he could relate, he could talk, he could enjoy moments of happiness with his son. The test comes again from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the test was so subtle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not order Ibrahim alayhi salam with a direct command. But it was via a dream that the test had come, that in his dream he sees he's slaughtering his son. So the long and short of our point that we were driving at today is that now Ibrahim alayhi salam is ordered by Allah to slaughter his son. He understands that the dream is revelation. The dream of Anbiya alayhi salam was revelation from Allah. So this revelation has come via a dream. He doesn't shun it away and aside and say, it's a dream, man. Maybe, you know, I'm just dreaming about something. It's not a reality. It can't be. But he understands it's a test from Allah. And this is a command of Allah. But look at the stance that Ibrahim alayhi salam takes, which is a lesson for each one of us. Ibrahim alayhi salam does not call his son and say, Ismail, come here. Don't ask any questions, we're going somewhere. He doesn't take him to the jungles and do what he needs to do, because he is the Khalil of Allah and I have to comply with the command of Allah. But Ibrahim alayhi salam immediately engages with his son. He says, قَالَ يَا بُنَيْ, O my most beloved son, إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. O my most beloved son, I have had a vision and a dream that I was slaughtering you. My take is that this is revelation. I have to comply with the command of Allah. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. You also give it a thought, come back to me. Think about it. It's a command of Allah. I have to slaughter you. So he engages him. Immediately the response of the son, Ismail alayhi salam, was that of iman. Because the nurturing was according to iman. The immediate response, قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ فَعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. O my most beloved father, do as you have been commanded. You've got my goodness at heart. You are worried about my well-being. Do what Allah has commanded you to do. What you have to do, you do it. I'm ready. Slaughter me. So the lesson is that the father did not come dogmatic. He didn't come with authority. He didn't come with harshness. He didn't say, listen, I'm Khalilullah. I have to slaughter you. Come, lie down. He didn't say, I am the Prophet of Allah. It's revelation. Don't ask questions. So at times, we need to know how to deal with our children. When he's telling the son, hey, listen, wash the car. You always want to go for the sardine run. You want to go fishing. Right, wash the car. We're going today Sunday. That's one way of doing it with authority. He may resent. He may rebel. He may disobey you. But when he's saying, hey, listen, the sardine run is on. People are catching fish. You wash the car. I'm slotting out the tackle. I'll put the rods onto the vehicle. Get everything in order, sort out the van, and then we live together. So you engage him, you do this, I do that, or what you think, what you're ready to do. So you engage with him, maybe he'll be ready to comply. So that's that lesson Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا خَابَ مَنِ اسْتَحَارْ وَلَا نَدِمَ مَنِ اسْتَشَارْ. That person who makes istihara, that person who asks Allah for goodness, is never at a loss. He never suffers a loss. And that person who makes mashwara is never ever regretful. That person who makes mashwara will never ever regret. And from time to time, this is the change of life. That when we're small, then there's decisions to make. When a person, throughout his life, there are decisions. Child is small, he got some ED, maybe he's 5 years old, got 50 rand in his hand. They say, Papa, Papa, I must buy the Coke, I must buy the chips. I must buy this toy or I must buy that toy. So he asks, Papa, what must I do? Dad, what do you feel? Must I buy this game or must I buy that game? So he's got simple decisions to make and he'll ask his father. Then he comes of a higher level. Maybe he needs to go to school. Now he says, Papa, my one friend is in this school, the other friend is in the other school. Which school must I go to? Or maybe he's also got a mind of a decision to make. He's also got an opinion. So the father will do some research. He say, you know what? I've done some research. This school is better for you. It's a better opportunity. Then he comes to high school. Maybe now we call it grade 9. By grade 10, he has to choose his subjects that he's going to go. Whether in those days was S7, S17, and whatever else have you. Now, what are you doing? You want to become a doctor, so we know what subjects to choose. You're going to accounting. You know, what you want to do further on in life, then accordingly we give you some guidelines of what subjects you need to choose now. You become an engineer, accordingly you make your decision. So as he gets bigger now, there are more challenging decisions to be made. And they can be far-reaching implications in whatever is going to be decided. Person is about to get married. Then also, the decision he makes will have a direct impact on his life ahead, his future. Just recently, anyway, there was a case that came, dealing with a case. Came in between, but eventually there was no way out of it besides a divorce. Be as it may, they accepted that they're going their own ways. Husband says, I'm going my way. Wife is saying, I'm going my way. Children are involved. Whatever the case is, some agreement has to be met. We have to come halfway. But eventually when we spoke to some of the family members, then one person said, that Maulana, you can try what you want. I don't think so. This is ever going to, you're not going to see any harmony in this marriage. He said, no, we have to give it a try. Try to mediate. Husband says, from the day I'm married, I'm having problems. Of your exaggeration. Ask the girl. So she says, Maulana, we're having problems from 2012. I tried, I patched, I negotiated, I accepted, I tolerated. I started a home industry. Different things to try and stabilize the home. 2018, I need my divorce. Enough is enough of it. So the relative says, Maulana, the mother was not happy with this from day one. When she came and says, Mommy, this is the boy I want to get married. Mommy said, you don't bring the boy, you tell me who you're interested, we will investigate. They did investigations. Listen, Betty, daughter, this is not for you. This boy is not for us. Look at our setting, our family, our background. Look at our culture, look at us. It's not for us. Mommy, if that's the case, I'm packing my bags and I'm leaving. Well, that's the only option you have. You have to go. I'm not going to accept him in my house. That son-in-law never entered his mother-in-law's house. The only time he came is when his father-in-law passed away. He came for the janazah. He sat outside also. He sat outside. So that relative said, the day the mother came with mashwara, it was rejected. The repercussions of it are after so many children in that marriage. Now, at the time of marriage, you have to make mashwara. Now, always remember, a child, a youngster, will have very narrowed, short-lived ambitions and aspirations. That daughter can see, listen, there's a very nice, wealthy, good-looking boy. But the father says, no. Listen, daughter, that family is not for you. That boy has got the wealth. But that wealth is going to come with some arrogance. It's going to come with an attitude. It's going to come with attitude. You make your decision. There's another option that we have. The boy is pious. We get along with this family. We gel. They are on the same wavelength. Although he may be of a lesser financial status than the first. But this is a better option for you. The girl cannot see further than her nose. She sees happiness, goodness in the wealth. But only years down the line, then she has uphill with her in-laws and her husband. She comes back. You come back to the drawing board. Hold on. Papa told me, mustn't get married to that boy. That attitude will catch up with you. And how many years it takes, eventually it will catch up. So Nabi Sam said, "Wala nadima man istashar." That person who makes mashwara, there's never regret in his life. In life, we always make a mashwara. There's some leaking in the home. We make some mashwara and we consult a plumber. You have some heart issues, you consult the cardiologist. You're having some, you want to build a house, you will consult an engineer. In the different aspects of life, we consult the people of the field. And for the deen of Allah, rightfully so, we have to consult the experts in the field. In the deen of Allah, we have to consult. If we are not going to consult an engineer, it may cost you the collapsing of your building. But if you don't consult the expert of the deen of Allah, that can cost you the collapsing of your Jannah. In this world, one wrong decision, your house can come down. Maybe you didn't listen to the doctor. Then eventually he told you, you don't just put the stent. You don't want to listen. Now you have to come for triple bypass. That time I told you, didn't listen. Now it's gone worse, to a worse degree. But for the deen of Allah, we don't make mashwara. Then the repercussions can be our akhirah. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best of anbiya. Khairul bashar, afdalul rusul, khatamun nabiyyin. Yet Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Washawirhum fil amr. Make mashwara with the sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Hold consult with sahaba regarding the matters of deen. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam required anything, he could have went into communication with Allah, maybe read two rakats, and drew from the treasures of Allah. Allah would have sent some revelation, some ayah, something would have come, some direction. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directs Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although you are that embodiment of wahi and revelation, you will consult your sahaba radiallahu anhum, so they learn the lesson of consultation. They need to learn this. And majority of the time, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا أَكْثَرَ مُشَاوَرَةً لِأَصْحَابِهِ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The person that held the most amount of consult with sahaba was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Always he would call sahaba radiallahu anhum. Now the benefit of holding mashwara and consultation is that via mashwara you read the minds of people. If you have mashwara in the home, you can understand the train of thought of some person. Example, you need to get your daughter married. Or example, maybe you want to go for Hajj, it's Hajj season. So the travel agent phones, he says, Muhammad, we've got one ticket available and you are not married. If you want, take it. We've got this one space available. So if you make mashwara with people, you'll understand the train of thought. You come to some person, now remember, you're not yet married and you've got some cash at hand. And when you ask one friend, hey, but you know what, the call came, he's got a seat available. What you think? Must I go for it or not? If someone has to tell you, no, hey, hold on. Don't go for Hajj. Get married first. Set up your life. Get a nice car, your nice house. When you sit in life, then you go for Hajj. You don't have to go now. There's no need now. Just set up yourself. When you well and set in life, then you go. Now that will tell you volumes of the train of thought of that person. You understand what's his train of thought, where he's coming from. He's a person worried about my financials. And you come to another person and he says, serious, you've got an opportunity. I mean, last minute, you got no strings attached. No, you got no wife, no children, no nothing. Your parents are happy. Yeah, my parents performed the Hajj. They've given me my blessings. They asked me to please go. And the person says, go for it. I mean, when you're alone, the amount you'll be able to maximize, go for it. You'd rather do your Hajj now. And that too, when you get married, and your wife, if she hasn't performed, you can go second time because you'll be the mahram of your wife. She can go second time. So that already tells you, this person is worried about my deen. He wants to see my well-being for akhirah. So sahaba radiallahu anhum, Nabi Sam consulted them at different stages. Battle of Badr, Nabi Sam consulted sahaba. Battle of Uhud, he consulted sahaba. Battle of the Trench, Ghazwatul Khandak. Then Nabi Sam consulted sahaba radiallahu anhum, what do we do? How do we combat the kuffar alliances that are advancing towards Madina Munawwara? How do we form a defense? So Nabi Sam asked sahaba radiallahu anhum, everyone came with a different opinion. And Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu, Salman, the Persian, he comes and he says, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's sahabi, he says, back home, we dig trenches around to fortify the city. Nabi Sam says, that's foreign to us. Amongst the Arabs, we don't know about that. Digging trenches, give it a thought. Nabi Sam came back, he says, oh Salman, we'll go with your opinion. Let's dig the trench. And that was known as the Battle of the Trench. And then sahaba radiallahu anhum were fortified in Madina Munawwara. The benefit of mashwara and the opinion came from someone who was a non-Arab. Someone who came from out of town, from a different country. and on different occasions, the benefit of mashwara, the benefit when you make mashwara with someone, is that you're drawing from his knowledge and expertise, you can be relaxed. The Arabic proverb says, Al-mushawaratu rahatun lak wa ta'bun ala ghayrik. When you make mashwara, it's relaxation for you. And it's a job for the next. The next person, he's got an effort. Example, maybe a proposal came for your daughter. Now you need to find out about the boy. One is you go and do homework. And you get your henchmen and your hitmen. And you can get all your spies and everyone to get a whole list and profile of that person. So you have to do everything. One is you make mashwara. You phone the local alim of that town. And see, this certain hafizab is proposed for my daughter. Molana, what's your take? You sit back after that. Then Molana will do everything. He'll phone the family. See, listen, I need to find out. He'll phone the friends. He'll phone the asatiza. He is the Hibs Ustad. He'll give you a clear understanding of the akhlaq. One phone call, you get the whole history from the Molana. Now, all that effort you thought you would have made was all easily sorted out in one phone call because you made mashwara. Umar radiallahu anhu was heading towards Sham. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu is the leader of the battalion of that army that is in Sham. When Umar radiallahu anhu is entering Ash-Sham, before he could enter the greater event, then Sahaba radiallahu anhu comes and says, "Oh Umar, you're not entering. There is an epidemic. There's an outbreak, there's a plague, there's a sickness. People are dying like flies. You cannot come. It's a cost of your life and the elite sahaba around you." Umar Rani says, no, hold on. Before we make any decision, he calls the very high ranking sahaba radiallahu anhu amongst the muhajirin. He says, "Oh muhajirin, ya ma'ashar, oh muhajirin, what do I do?" So he had mashwara. He says, "Okay, jazakallah for the opinion. Please leave." They left. He called the Ansar. They entered. He says, "This is the situation. What's your decision?" They gave mashwara. Then he called the third group of the seniors of Quraysh. "What you think should be our stance?" They gave the mashwara. At the end of it, Umar radiallahu anhu says, "My decision is we return back to Medina Munawwara because I've learnt of this one hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if you're out of the plague, then don't enter it, return back." So he returns back to Medina Munawwara. So he says, "I didn't know the hadith. I made mashwara, I learned something." So Khalifa of the time makes mashwara, he learns the lesson and he goes back to Medina Munawwara. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Umar radiallahu anhu, Nabi Sam says, "Law kana nabiyun ba'di, la kana Umar." Had there been a Nabi after me, none other than Umar radiallahu anhu. Because he understands the temperament of nubuwat. 15 approximately ayat, difference of opinion, 15 or 22. Some scholars say 15 ayat of Quran were revealed according to the desire of Umar radiallahu anhu, which means those ayat were supposed to have been revealed, but Umar radiallahu anhu expressed the desire of that law even before the revelation. وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. Maqam Ibrahim must be a place of salah. Even before the ayah was revealed, Umar radiallahu anhu comes, he says, "Ya Rasulullah, I think so, we must perform salah behind Maqam Ibrahim." Ayat was revealed a few days later. Umar radiallahu anhu comes, he says, "Ya Rasulullah, I think so, your wives have to go into hijab and niqab. They have to veil themselves. And the women of the believers have to veil themselves. This is purest for our hearts and theirs." So Nabi Sam says, "It's a very good thought, but I cannot impose this, it's not revelation. Allah hasn't instructed me." And there comes the revelation from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, fresh revelation few days later, that, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell the believing men and women and your wives that they have to veil themselves. So it was his desire and eventually the ayah was revealed. So this is that personality. Yet he had a board of advisors in his khilafah. He had the ulama around him 24/7. Any mashwara, any decision to be made, he would call the ulama. He says, "This is what we are facing. What should we do? What should be our stance? This is what is our dilemma. This, we are at a crossroads. What do we do?" So Sahaba radiallahu anhum always made mashwara, and that's the benefit. One simple example, just before the Jummah Salah, after we came out of the madrasa, then one of our relatives phones and he says, "Mufti sahab, I need some clarification." So I says, "No problem. I've got some time before the Jummah." So he says, my son is going for Hajj. So he says, yeah, I know about it. We've met. We've spoken about it. So he says, no. I had paid the travel agent approximately 80% of the amount. I gave it to him. There was a 20% left. I told him I'll give it to him in cash because I'm out of town. Only after Ramadan, I had the opportunity of coming and I came to pay him. When I came to pay him, there was an excess charge. He said, increment price of 7.5%. So I asked him, listen, clarify that. Where you got 7.5% from? He said, delay of payment will attract extra charges. So I said, hey, the only thing he's telling my relative is telling the travel agent, but hey, hold on. According to me, that is interest. You can't charge penalties because of delay in payment. That's interest. I mean, you fixed it at 7.5%. So he says, no. You see, it's a rand dollar, that exchange rate. So he says, okay, I'm not too sure. I'll have to just check up on the rand dollar exchange rate from the time we signed the contract. We gave the initial payment till now. So he phones and he's fuming. He says, Mufti Sahab, is this interest or not? So I says, it's interest. It's not permissible. He cannot charge you penalties on it. There was no contract, there was no agreement to that nature, you haven't signed anything, so what is he charging you for? There isn't such a charge, he can't fix it at 7.5%. So he says, no, hold on, I'm not the only person, there are other people. So I say, it's not permissible. So he says, if that's the case, I'm going to blackmail him, I'm taking out my SMS, my WhatsApp, I'm going to phone certain muftis, I'm going to get all my istiftas, and I'm going to forward it to him, I'm going to sort him out for once and all. So I says, he's here, wait, hold on. Relative spoke to him, uncle, before you do that, I think so, don't do that. I give you the fatwa. You ask other muftis, they give you the same fatwa. Don't do that. So he says, why? Why mustn't I do that? I say, you're going to be in South Africa. You're going to be in relaxation. You're going to be cool and calm. Your son is joining the group for Hajj. You blackmail him now. His people, whoever is in that group, are going to give him appeal in that Hajj. They'll give everyone's room keys. They won't give your son. They say, there's some problem over here. We're looking for one room short. They will cause havoc in his life. You don't need that now. He says, I didn't think about that. Yeah, lucky. I think so. I'll sort it out after Hajj. But the only thing he did was make mashwara. He says, you think it's a good idea? Must I do it this way? And he realized it's not the right thing to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and the ability that in the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we have to make mashwara. When it comes to our health, we make mashwara. For the deen of Allah, we have to make mashwara. Whatever the case be. Sometimes the person opens a business. Find out from the ulama, what is the masail with regards to my business? Personal issues, find out. Recently, one alim wrote one book. So he gave a student, this last incident, we'll call it a day. He had his writings, anyway, the book, he gave it to one student from university. He says, just proofread it and give it back to me. Maybe there's some grammatical errors or whatever the case be. Maybe my findings are incorrect. You come back to me. So after that, the person came back. He says, Mawlana, your book, mashallah, alhamdulillah, lovely, lovely, lovely. Only one problem. I see you writing against Darwin's theory, and what's the problem with it? What's the problem with Darwin's theory? What's our origin? We have come from there. That's what we have learned. So what's wrong with that? He says, astaghfirullah, bhai. Are you not Hafizul Quran? He says, I'm Hafizul Quran. He says, but I never know that's wrong, Mawlana. You know, our forefathers, Adam alayhi salam, Hawa radiallahu anha, from this pair, this is how is our initiation of creation. He said, Mawlana, I promise you, I didn't know that Darwin's theory was wrong. If such a Hafizul Quran had to pass away, there was a question mark on his iman. Why there was no mashwara, there's no ta'aleem, there's no holding consultation with ulama, with our parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. The lesson is we make mashwara with regards to the aspects of the deen of Allah. Prophecy of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a time will come. People will not make mashwara with ulama and these scholars. وَعِجَابُ كُلِّ ذِي رَأْيٍ بِرَأْيِهِ Everyone will be self-opinionated. He says, no, I understand my English. I saw the translation of Quran. I know what's right. They can't tell us what's right and what's wrong. We also got understanding. We studied also. But the deen of Allah, we don't play it like how when it comes to our heart, we don't play. We take our heart and our health serious with regards to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq that we also make mashwara.